it was like French Civil War. Hello and welcome to edition 223 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula One. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are sat at the iconic and beautifully summery Rushcutters Public House on the outskirts of Norwich, where Colin Chapman and Graham Hill once shared a pint. And we are here to review the return of the French Grand Prix. We'll also squeeze in a quick glance at Austria too. Coming up, Seb Standard. Uh-oh, it happened again, Roman. And Alonso. I am sports... Thanks, Stuart. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey, and joining us on tonight's pod, we have reigning three times NRF1 Prediction League champion, Steve Rust.
Good evening.
Self-confessed Team Lewis fangirl, Melissa Rowland.
Hello.
And 2018 NRF1 newbie, Stuart, as in Jackie Muller.
Good evening.
How are we doing, everyone? Everyone all right? What a beautiful situation. We've all got a nice drink on the go. We all saw the race. Life's good.
Good. Yeah, good.
Steve, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been ages. I've been too busy.
All right. You watched the race?
Sort of, yeah. I watched highlights, and then I fell asleep, and then I woke up again.
You had a busy weekend.
So this is going to be quite a good pod for
Brilliant.
Me. Yeah.
Look forward to your insight. Melissa, you watched the race.
I did. I watched it straight after Panama, England.
Live?
Upstairs. Live, of course, yeah, absolutely. And I really enjoyed it, but I think that I'm in a minority.
Imagine not watching the Formula One live, Stuart.
Yeah, who would do something like that?
Well, I watched the highlights at the end of the day.
Yeah. I watched it at work. I shouldn't say that, but it's too late.
Where do you work? No, let's not get into that.
Let's not.
Right. Well, everyone's well. Everyone seems to be on good form, which is great. Let's discuss the French Grand Prix. Did we enjoy its return to the F1 grid? Big thing made of it, you know, 10 years since we had a French Grand Prix. We enjoy it, Melissa?
I enjoyed it. We actually, me and Steve were talking about the stripes. Around the
track. No. I think that's what sent me asleep.
Yeah.
Just comatose me.
Mind blown with that, especially when Verstappen went off to avoid all of the crashes as soon as everyone went for it and the lights were out, and because he went completely off track and everyone was like, is he going to get a penalty, is he not? But he needed to get out of the way, so I think that's how he justified it. But yeah, that was quite, the stripes are quite weird.
I mean, it was literally like they were racing in a car park or sort of Mario Kart, and it was like, well, actually you can kind of go wherever you want, but if you sort of closely try and stay roughly to sort of the track. I mean, we used to have discussions about track limits. As you said, there were basically no track limits on the weekend.
Yeah, but I guess they're trying to do what they can to slow the drivers down with the red and the blue and the white, and I think it worked pretty well. I mean, it is a bit sort of trippy looking if you look in like lap after lap after lap, but I think it's a good track, and I think France definitely needs a race. It needs to happen, so it's good it's back. Hopefully it'll be back next year.
I mean, it did seem like a track that lent itself to some pretty decent racing at times.
Yeah, it did, yeah. I mean, I can remember if that's how you pronounce it. I can remember those races, and I always thought that they were always a little bit sort of lacklustre races, really. And I when they last went to Paul Ricard was before my time of watching F1, so I don't know how this differs, because I think they've altered bits and pieces of the track. But yeah, I mean, there was some good overtaking. I thought the DRS zones were quite powerful on this track.
Yeah,
they were quite long straights, and that seemed that you didn't have to be that close to really get on the back of someone by the end of it. But yeah, it was quite good racing.
I mean, they did manage to get the sprinklers on, which was good. I mean, they were racing around a track that was effectively designed as a test track. And they also had lots of, you know, they seemed like it was pretty busy. There was a lot of people there. I think Dan was sort of joking that there'd only be about 12 people there. But, I mean, this was, of course, once they could get into the circuit. And we'll maybe talk about the complete traffic carnage later. But in the words of Dan Springle, Grand Prix is French. So it's good to have the French Grand Prix back. Lewis Hamilton will certainly be agreeing. That was domination, really, wasn't it? Well, I mean, where did that come from, Melissa? Because, you know, last weekend, it was a real struggle for Mercedes.
It was a real struggle. Car obviously suited the track. Ferrari were just not really at the races the whole time, but he was quick all through the practice sessions and the lot, as was Valtteri, actually, who I ended up feeling quite sorry for, because he was just really, really desperately unlucky, even at the end of quali when he thought that he'd gained provisional pole, and then along came Lewis and just took it away from him. But that's the difference between great and the greatest, I suppose. Is that really... the greatest. But he asked, didn't he, on the radio, he said, what happened? I assume all the carnage happened behind me. And they're like, yep, it did indeed. And off he went. And I think he was toying a little bit with the bulls. I think Christian Horner was spoken to a couple of times, and they said, do you reckon Lewis is toying with it? And he absolutely managed the pace of the whole race. And I think if he needed to pull it out and pull a bit more of a gap, then he would have been able to have done that. I don't think he needed to fuel save or anything like that. He managed his tyres really well. Can I ask a question, guys? Why did they not take Hypersoft tyres? Because Hypersofts weren't there, were they, at the weekend?
You mean the soft?
Well,
Steve's at a wedding all weekend.
Well, yeah, no. Do you mean ultras? You mean
No, isn't it Hypersoft?
Hyper is the f- soft, yeah.
Yeah.
Like ultra's just ultra.
Stupidly soft.
No, I don't think they did. That was the next one up, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was interesting because they were saying that the new asphalt on the track was actually helping with the tyre degradation. So in a way, they probably could have done that, but maybe didn't realise until they got there. Because it did look... Well, we got a one-stop race, didn't we, basically, which never really helps. The difference between Mercedes this weekend in France compared to Canada, Stuart?
I think Canada favoured the Red Bulls a bit, I think, aerodynamically. And I think Mercedes, I think they just had... I think it might have depended on the engine as well. If I can't remember what happened, what they said they were running.
Did they bring in the new engine?
Yes, they did.
And I think that had a lot to play with it as well. So
it's a bit ominous then for the rest of the season, well, isn't it? Is it?
Yeah, maybe, but there's always... I think Austria will suit the Red Bulls quite a bit aerodynamically, and I think the Ferrari's a bit up there as well. So I think even with the engine, I mean, you know, Ferrari made good progress this season anyway to catch up, so I think it'll be close.
I mean, and we will, of course, talk about the carnage behind Lewis, but we did have three constructors on the podium again, Steve. We've said it for a few weeks. This is kind of what we wanted, and Ped was making the point that we're still not happy. But, you know, we've got three constructors on the podium. There's not really much between them. Obviously, one car does seem to be dominating per race, but generally, you know, this is pretty tight.
Oh, it is. I mean, you've had Alonso recently criticise and say, well, it's got that predictable. You know it's going to be either a Mercedes or a Ferrari, and you know which one of the two drivers is going to be. And, yeah, it kind of still is that. But if you look at last past race results with Canada to this one, you know, and you've got Red Bulls more in the mix now rather than being the best of the rest behind the two. So, yeah, I mean, it's not as predictable as maybe what we'd all thought.
We've had weeks of Callum Springle, good old Cal, who was on Missed Apex podcast, by the way. Have a listen to it if you haven't heard it. I haven't heard it yet, but I will definitely. He is, of course, the man Lewis Hamilton fans love to hate. I think he's quite enjoying that now as well. But Melissa, you're well on board Lewis Hamilton, Team LH44, whatever you want to call it. How do you see things progressing from here? Are you confident that, you know, this might be the signal of what Lewis can achieve this year?
Yeah, I think he's kind of at peace with himself. He just seems to be... He wears his heart on his sleeve, and I feel that he is what he is at the end of the day. And I think he's just very at peace and just knows what he can do and what he can bring to the table. And I think if you're collectively you're mentally in the zone as well as physically being able to handle the pressure, and he can and he does, and it's a bit like watching Cristiano Ronaldo, isn't it, play in the World Cup. They just do it. There's just something that they've got that they can just draw out of themselves and be great. So I think it's quite exciting. I don't think it's going to be handed to Lewis on a plate, not by any stretch of the imagination whatsoever.
Now, a quick reminder, you know the best places to interact with us. They're on social media, Twitter, Instagram. The handle is @thenrf1. We've also got a Facebook group and, of course, a Facebook page, which you can visit. The handle there is @thenrf1 or fb.me/thenrf1. We love getting your emails too. Please keep them coming. The address, nrf1podcast@gmail.com, and of course the website nrf1.uk has all the links you could possibly need to take in this lovely podcast. Right, let's fire up the nrf1 pit stops. DT's pit stop impression is a treat as always. So, first up, Ferrari. Now, Sebastian Vettel. I mean, the guy's won a lot of championships. He's very experienced. He's an incredibly talented racer. But he does just seem to have a knack of making mistakes over the last couple of years. Maybe it's a Ferrari thing because Fernando had a similar problem. But this was quite a big mistake. I mean, this could be pretty costly come the end of the season.
Look at Singapore last year. Lost the title for a silly mistake. And people say, can he race, can he not race? But didn't everyone enjoy seeing him come back through the field? I mean, that was awesome. I mean, it was a great drive, but yes, he just keeps making silly mistakes. And is that a mark of a really great champion? Who knows? But yeah, very silly. But is he learning? That's the thing. I mean, he's doing some awesome drives, he's doing some awesome overtakes, but, you know, yes, he's got four championships, of course, that was complete domination, but, you know, I think a championship with Ferrari would really sort of seal it for him as one of the greats.
It's which way you want to spin it, I suppose, because ultimately, yeah, it was a great recovery drive. The situation could have been far worse had he have not pulled that out. But it's these little lapses, I suppose. I mean, the question, I guess, is had he not have done that, where would he have finished? We've just spoken about how Mercedes managed to turn in a fantastic performance and Lewis managed to dominate it. But had Seb, he made a flying start, had he stayed on the track and not gone into the back of Valtteri, would he have had the pace to actually have challenged and beaten Lewis?
I think it's interesting. I think given how he came back through the field, maybe. But, I mean, without him being there, how much sandbagging was Lewis doing, basically? You know, I mean, all right, that's a fresh engine, but it has got to do another seven. So, I mean, they're all well aware of that now. There's only three for the season, so where there's an opportunity to just pull it back and save it a bit, it'll do it. So maybe not. I mean, it might have just been just a straight race for him, really. But, I mean, as for his mistakes, he just doesn't look as focused as Hamilton.
Is that as much hunger as well, I wonder?
I think, yeah, I think when he was at Red Bull, because it was year after year for 4 years, and then when he moved over to Ferrari, I don't know what he expected or whether he expected that to continue. But then I think when he found himself having to work for it rather than being gifted it, I think some of the enthusiasm sort of went. And I think he almost looked like somebody who was happy to just sit back until they actually give him a car that is just literally as dominant as a Mercedes has been in the last 2 to 3, 4 years. But yeah, he just doesn't look as focused, and that's where the silly mistakes coming out. I mean, that was easily avoidable. Yeah, I mean, for what he said after the race, to me, was just a pile of basically. Yeah, it was how I had nowhere else to go. But
didn't you blame Grosjean?
Ericsson's fault, yeah. Probably as well.
Yeah, I was. But I mean, where does he expect Bottas to be going? Yeah, it's a race, you know.
And I mean, play the long game, I suppose, isn't it?
Because I mean, why would you risk putting yourself out of the race, which he nearly did? You can't just say, well, you know, I had nowhere else to go. It was unavoidable. Of course it wasn't unavoidable.
You saw a great start from Charles Leclerc, or Lee Clark, who managed to stick it around the... Lee Clark. I think that's Rich's contribution. Great positional sense of sticking on the outside of the track and not getting, you know, involved in anything. And he obviously went on to have another really impressive weekend in a Sauber. Melissa, let's move on to Red Bull, shall we?
Yeah.
Just sensing from Max Verstappen that little dip in form is over and we're starting to see him back on good form and therefore putting the pressure back on Daniel Ricciardo.
They're the only two drivers for me. I feel that there's not a number one and there's not a number two for me. They are completely equal, essentially. I don't necessarily think that Vettel and Raikkonen aren't. I don't think Raikkonen really gives that much of a to be fair. It's just like, whatever. And naturally, I think, does Lewis feel that way? I don't know. I think that Valtteri feels that he's not quite as good as Lewis at the minute. But no, I'm absolutely delighted for Max. It is quite ironic, actually, that he said that if he'd have done what Sebastian had done to Bottas, he would have been given a really hard time. I think he feels that Seb was let off quite lightly about it. Maybe that's just the fact that he's very young still. But then again, you've got a lot of youngsters who are coming through the pack now. And Vettel's quite well. He is quite Verstappen, so he is quite... Would you say he's quite well seasoned? I think he has got a level of maturity, but I think he's really, really exciting to watch. So it's really great to see him do very well. And I think he capitalised on people's errors. They did all right. They weren't ever going to completely kind of lock out the front row in quali or anything like that. But the Bulls are doing really, really well this season. I'm quite impressed.
And they're providing very good entertainment value, aren't they?
Yeah, and the thing is, going back to, you know, Lewis had this under control. Every time Verstappen put in a quick lap, Lewis met it, and then lap after lap he was consistently sort of quicker. So, but I think the Red Bulls are doing well. I mean, I completely agree with Melissa. It's completely, there's no one or two, they're completely fighting it out. And, you know, Verstappen does look a little bit more relaxed. And I think with Vettel, I think, is it the pressure, do you think, of Ferrari? You know, you're the number one driver, they expect results, they expect championships. So, you know, does that lose him focus? And I think with Hamilton, he's relaxed because he's got a good teammate, a solid teammate who'll back him up. And, you know, but then I applaud the Red Bulls for not having team orders, really, and letting them race.
That's been so crucial. It's interesting with Seb, but I guess he moved to Ferrari thinking, oh, Michael made a success of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me have a go. Having had such phenomenal success apart from his last season at Red Bull, and hasn't happened like that, has it? Hasn't happened like that. And Michael's Michael, as Melissa.
But then I think Alonso yeah, had the same.
I'm Michael as well, but I'm not Michael. I'm just Michael.
But I think Alonso had the same pressure as well. You know, he was the number one, outstated number one, and you know he didn't deliver a championship, and you know maybe Vettel's sort of taken up that throne in a way.
It was, of course, at the start that helped Max Verstappen out a lot. He finished on the podium. He was second after the first couple of corners. Now, we'd be delighted to know that the wonder that is Richard Baxter, our main man, did comms from the start of the race. He's on form now, third race on the trot, Rich. Here is his commentary from the start of this year's French Grand Prix.
Hello and bonjour. Welcome to another Formula One commentary with me, Rich. If you listened last time, you would have heard my F1 snack watch, which I know the guys were interested in. Well, today we've got a double take. I was doing the race live earlier, and unfortunately, the live stream cut out that I was using on SkyGo. So I've got the full race replay. I've avoided the result, and I've got a double whammy. I've got some nice peanuts to snack on, and some crisps, and even a homemade pizza. So it's the rock and roll life for me. But anyway, it's the French Grand Prix. The cars are lining up on the grid. So let's see what happens. It's Mercedes 1-2, Hamilton on pole, Bottas is second, Vettel is on third. So just as the last car, Brendan Hartley, comes into position, the lights are going to come on. So it's one light, two, three, four, five, pause, and go. And Mercedes seem to get away well. Vettel's stuck with them. Vettel, so yeah, Hamilton's in the lead, Bottas second. Ooh, Red Bull's looking. Oh, this is getting punchy into the first corner. I think Hamilton's there. Oh, there's a big hit. Bottas has gone round. I think Vettel's hit Bottas, yeah. I think Vettel's lost his wing. Bottas is there. And there's a Renault. Is that Sainz or Hülkenberg? I can't see which one. And Leclerc is up there as well. He's going for the fourth, fifth place. So there's Hamilton, a Red Bull. I'm not sure which one, a Renault. Oh, whoa, this is crazy. What is going on? I don't even know what is going on. There's yellow flags in sector 1 and 2. I can't say who's where. But there's a couple of Haas, there's a couple of Renaults, there's Force Indias up there. And yeah, first corner contact, Bottas and Vettel. So yeah, this is going to be an interesting race for definite. And this could be a massive, massive, make a massive difference in the title championship. And there's a Force India there smashed up. That's terrible. And that's Ocon at his home Grand Prix. And that's a nightmare start for him. I'm going to have to see some replays to see what's going on. But another crazy start. And yeah, such a shame about this Formula One. It's so boring.
Oh, Rich. Brilliant work from Rich. I love the fact he had literally not a clue what was going on, who anyone was. We knew Lewis was leading. But it makes me want to hear a whole race with Rich commentary. What's happened there? I don't know. Obviously, good to know what his snack watch is as well. So, phenomenal stuff, Rich. Hopefully, we'll be on the podcast next week. And we'll still get more comms, because I think we'll all agree, basically better than David Croft.
Oh, I don't know. I would say better than...
Ben Edwards?
No. Oh, that was who we were trying to think of.
We couldn't think who it was. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ben.
Who's he better than? There's only Murray Walker left.
Yeah, Murray's great.
Jonathan Ledyard.
Was that Jonathan Ledyard.
Oh, my word. No, that was the worst one that was, wasn't it?
So Rich is better than Jonathan Ledyard. Lovely man, by the way.
Martin Brundle.
Oh, as a cut, yeah, as nice. The main lead com. But he's Norfolk's Martin Brundle, so we can never slag him off. Brilliant stuff. Well done, Rich. Right, our third pit stop we were going to make is, well, it's Alonso's garage, so we're singling him out. Le Mans winner, of course, Fernando. He was one of three drivers to win Le Mans. What did the Springles call it? Lemons. That's right, lemons. Lee Mans. Yep, I know Lee Mans as well. He's next door to Lee Clark. So that's great. Although, A, I didn't watch it, and B, everyone was telling me for weeks beforehand that Toyota and his car was going to win it anyway. So that didn't really strike me as the most entertaining situation, given that, possibly a penalty could have scuppered him. By the way, we'll probably have a discussion about penalties in our Patreon podcast, because I know that with Seb, there's a discussion to be had there. But great for Fernando Alonso. I think there's a big question mark over his future now because of what the Triple Crown will offer him. But just in terms of this race and McLaren, both out in Q1, shocker in terms of the race. We've got the fact that they've run the car in the wind tunnel and they can't seem to find any aerodynamic issue with the car. I mean, that's a worry for like third. And all the staff are revolting because they're being given Freddo frogs for when they work really hard. I mean, this isn't going very well, is it?
Well, didn't they fire loads of people as well? Some of the aero team as well? They're just... Oh, it's just...
Were they the ones who couldn't find the fault or the ones who caused the fault? Or?
Well, they probably found the fault and then they fired them to hush them up a bit, but...
Oh. Best chassis on the grid, don't forget. Melissa's still stuck on the Freddo frogs.
Yeah, I'm there.
This is shocking, and it's time for Alonso to do what he did on the radio and say, let's just retire the car. No, that's just so embarrassing for the team, isn't it? It really is, and it's such a shame. There was so much promise for this year, and they started reasonably well, but where's it gone? It's just dropped off completely.
Died inside when he's like, yeah, I'm just going to retire my car. It's like, that's the thing. There doesn't seem... And Alonso just thinks that he can do what he wants to do, and they need to start to kind of toe the line a little bit and say he's in charge, and Alonso plays his part, but he's not the decision maker, is he?
Exactly right. And I guess Fernando was hoping, oh, that's right, we've ditched Honda, we'll now have a quick car because we've got a Renault engine. I mean, they are miles off any other car with a Renault engine in it.
The thing is, as I said on podcasts last year, when they were sort of trying to ditch that Honda engine, and they were basically saying, oh, yeah, if we had the right engine, we could be like a second quicker in qualifying. And I remember saying then, if you look at like their qualifying times, and that would only put them at the bottom of the top 10. And they were rambling on, oh, we could be like finishing on the podium. And I was like, no, I think you need to look at your maths a bit more than that, you know. But the thing is for years, I don't think they really moved with the times, McLaren. You know, I think they're still probably one of the bigger teams in terms of how much money they've got to spend. But lots of other teams went on recruiting drives, you know, chopped and changed and moved with the times in terms of the organisation. McLaren didn't. They still insist. It's a train go by. They still
love you, Rich.
Yeah. They still insist on basically, instead of evolving the previous year's car, just scrapping it and completely redesigning it. Whereas that Mercedes car is the same one from 2014. It's just an evolution. They got rid of one or two other designers and just brought other people in that weren't overly highly rated, and it's just a mess, really. I mean, they brought in, Zach Brown, which a lot of people were sort of like, you know, jumping for joy with, you know, McLaren fans, but it's just nothing's going in the right direction. It's just a disaster, really.
I heard, is there an ugly rumour about Danny Ricciardo going to McLaren?
Yes.
Does he know something that we don't know? Because am I missing something here?
We're going to talk about Danny Rick's future in the Patreon podcast. Okay, cool. So hold that thought, Melissa. Mm-hmm. Money is what I'd say, if he ends up going there. Yeah. One quick question to you all. Only needs a one-word answer. Will Fernando Alonso still be in Formula 1 next season?
No.
No, but I love him.
Nope.
Nope, I would agree. And I'm sure we'll be able to talk a little bit more about Fernando in the Patreon podcast as well. Much more pit stops and chat about the 2018 French Grand Prix. As I said, that will be in our exclusive Patreon podcast. You can hear that and more. To do so, check out patreon.com, patreon.com/NRF1 right after this podcast. Now, of course, this is a good time of the week. It's our Of the Weekend. Thanks, Melissa. Good jingle. So let's rattle through these, shall we? Because as always, time seems to have disappeared. Rodolfo Gonzalez, driver of the weekend. Who was top dollar?
Gotta just say it.
It's Lewis Hamilton.
Thanks, though. I don't know why we needed the pause. Steve?
You can't really be anyone else, not really. I mean, there are like other...
honourable mentions?
There are other honourable mentions. Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
You know, got to give a good shout to that. I mean, to be honest, I thought Ricciardo had a fairly decent race. With what he had. Yeah, but you can't really say anyone else, really. Top driver.
Kimi Raikkonen, too. I thought I had a good race.
Yeah, solid race. Obviously, Hamilton definitely. But I think a shout-out to Kevin Magnussen, sixth place.
Yes.
Very solid performance. And also Charles Leclerc as well. Another more points. You know, great guy.
Carlos Sainz did well as well, to be fair. He dragged it across the line. Thought they may have had to retire the car, but Renault, they're solid this weekend, I have to say. So, I think Sainz did well.
Spot on. Kevin Magnussen, he's having a great season, by the way. Suck his gladly. Is that the thing to say? I don't know. Kevin Magnussen. Yeah, yeah. And of course, Charles Leclerc is he's the star of the future. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Team of the weekend. So it's a bit wishy-washy, but I don't know. And we might ditch this award because it seemed. But let's persevere. Team of the weekend.
The reason why that one's difficult is it's always inconsistent, isn't it? Yeah. You always get one driver of one team does well and the other doesn't.
You're looking out for the ones who really can excel, but Red Bull, second and fourth.
Yeah, I was going to say. They both finished, didn't they?
Yeah. Fourth India, not.
All right, that'll do for that. Pastor Maldonado of the weekend. I think we're going to have a few nominations here. So who wants to go first?
Roman Grosjean.
That's one for Ped. We'll probably save this for Patreon podcast because we're running out of time on this one. But the WhatsApp group on Romain Grosjean that we had discussed, we'll go through some of those posts in the other podcast. It's truly epic. But Romain driving into a wall again. He had so long to sort out the car, I thought. I don't know. I'm not a Formula One driver, but he just seems a bit hapless at the moment. I guess the other mention that I wanted to, in terms of Pastor of the weekend, the French organisers for the ridiculous traffic chaos and the Formula One management for not really dealing with it and going, oh, it's great because it means lots of people want to see our race and, you know, there'll be bigger queues tomorrow. I mean, great, that's exactly what everyone wanted to hear on Thursday, is that, you know, Saturday's going to be really shit. And they had that at Silverstone, but it was quite clearly, let's get this sorted. So hopefully, first time back at Paul Ricard, maybe, you know, in future they'll get it sorted. But I don't know if the F1 management really ever offered any sort of apology or anything for that.
No, I haven't seen it. All I've just seen is that they've just said that it can't happen next year, sort of thing.
Okay. Well, that's a bit better than some stuff I saw.
Yeah, but not really over an apology, no.
Anyone else for Pastor of the weekend?
Williams.
They're disaster, aren't they, at the minute? Disaster in quali.
That's another team that's gone backwards.
Oh, they're just...
Backwards? Literally. Lance seemed to be in a proper strop for most of the weekend and, you know, his tyre blew, which was a shame, but he probably caused it himself for his own flat spot, so...
He needs to just calm down a little bit. He seems sometimes to get a little bit angry about stuff, but other pastors got to be Sebastian Vettel, but then again, it was Roman Grosjean's fault, so it's got to be Roman Grosjean.
I tell you what Williams look like. They look like a completely leaderless team, which when you look at the age of Stroll and Sorokin, they are. They haven't got any experience there. They're really badly missing Felipe Massa for what he was, not because he was on fire, but just that leadership and direction.
I couldn't believe that the driver lineup that they chose, that they went for two kind of more or less rookies, really, and not have that one experience in there. I think they would have been better off picking Kubica. I know he hasn't been in Formula One for a while, but he's an experienced man when it comes to
racer.
Yeah, because he's a test driver or does testing. Is it for Mercedes?
He's at Sky now, doesn't he?
Sky.
But this is be honest, Steve, you're spot on, because if I was Claire Williams at the moment, the problem is they probably can't afford to take either out. That's the difficult thing.
I can tell you different.
Oh.
Because the deal that they had with Mercedes, with having Bottas, because they didn't want to let him go, was that they get free engines for a season, and they get on a massive payoff as well, and they got Paddy Lowe as well. That was the deal.
I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean they don't have any money. It just means that they may be even further beyond their means.
Well, those engines are like £5 million a pot.
Exactly.
You know, if you three them for the season, it's £15 million.
But if it's not about money, they need to look at that driver lineup and think, we desperately need some experience in here, because they are not going to progress. I know they might not progress anyway, but they're not going to progress with Sorokin and Stroll as their drivers whinging around about not getting enough information.
The trouble is with inexperienced drivers is you're not getting the feedback potentially not getting the feedback back to the designers and aerodynamics and engineers to improve the car, because they're inexperienced, and by the sounds of it they're just like whinging all the time and not actually doing constructive feedback to improve the problems. And that's where you should have, that's where obviously Massa was in there as an experienced driver, and they weren't doing this bad when he was there.
Brilliant stuff, Steve. Giuliano Salvi moment of the weekend. I don't remember hearing. I only watched the highlights, as I said at the start, but I don't remember hearing Giuliano Salvi, which is a disappointment given K-Mag finished sixth. He was such good entertainment last season. We just don't hear it from him anymore. But top moment of the weekend, any particular overtake or anything that really stood out?
I think Kimi did well. He was asked by the team to chase down to get a podium finish, and he did what was instructed, and he did it quite effortlessly. and with ease. I think Danny Rick was having a few problems, wasn't he, with his car by then, was a bit of a sitting duck, but he did what he needed to do. Valtteri, on the other hand, didn't really. He needed to get through the pack a lot quicker than what he did. So I suppose in that respect, Ferrari kind of made the best of a bad situation, I suppose. But I don't think there's any like groundbreaking highlights. No.
I mean, I love the start. I just thought that was very wacky, racist and Mario Kart. Yeah. And obviously then the carnage, we all agreeing?
Yeah, definitely. I think as well, I know we touched on it, but Leclerc using his head and avoiding everything, you know, that's sensible driving, and you know, I think that was really good.
Spot on. Brilliant. Okay, leaves a race rating out of 11. We obviously didn't have a score for France last season because it didn't exist, but in terms of our ratings this year, top race Azerbaijan 11.35, worst race is Monaco 5.25. I wonder if we're sort of competing with China and Bahrain here. 8.6, 8.5. I thought it was probably decent. I thought it was better than Australia, this one. So I'd probably say a 7-ish. But what do you guys think?
7.5.
Yeah, I'd go 7.
I was thinking about 7.
Job done. I don't know what that is in total, but that sounds just about right. Good. I've managed to manipulate that pretty well, I think. Who will have the biggest smile on their face as they head home on their private jet from Paul Ricard? We'll ask the air stewardess.
Team LH, of course.
Or Lewis Hamilton, or maybe Danny Rick. You can make sure you catch all our key NRF1 podcasts by subscribing via your podcast player of choice. nrf1.uk/podsubscribe is the place to find all your links. If you can't find your link there, email us nrf1podcast@gmail.com and we will sort it out. If you are listening to us on iTunes, on the podcast app, then please rate and review us. You can do so by visiting nrf1.uk/isonitunes.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers. So, briefly, next up, Austria. It's a little go-kart track in my head. It's so short. Red Bull's home race, that's kind of the thing we always talk about. Do we like this race? Are you a fan of this track?
Yeah, it's a quick track. And, I think there's always some good action. So, I think we should be in for a good race.
And a big one for Red Bull. Of course, we didn't really talk about it, but we now know they're going to have Honda engines from 2019. A massive step that's going to have a huge impact on Danny Rick. We'll talk about it in our Patreon podcast in a bit more depth. But you kind of feel that all adds to the importance, probably, of this weekend for Red Bull.
Oh, yeah, it's a bit of pressure. It's their home Grand Prix, really, isn't it? But I think they'll probably do all right. I think probably have a fairly similar weekend to this weekend. You know, reasonably competitive, but not fully, as in winning races. But
I haven't checked, but I don't think they haven't won this, have they, since they've been back, I don't think, at Spielberg. I don't even think they've had that good a weekend there, to be honest.
2014, yeah. I think we went back to, and obviously that was the start of the Mercedes Doms, yeah. So I don't think so.
I think that's an interesting one as to whether this might finally be the year for them to kick in around Spielberg. We will see. Which, of course, means it's predictions time. So we will get all the predictions into our other pod. But on this one, we can make one apiece, just to give a little taster. Just in terms of... Now, this is quite bad. I mean, I spent all that time catching up on the prediction standings. I think I topped the bill in Canada. And and I think I might have done it last week as well. So I've somehow hit a rich vein of... for, which is quite a bit embarrassing. So the prizes will roll over or some such, because I'm obviously not going to claim
them. What's the prizes?
£5 gift voucher for motorsport-merchandise.com or the classic Team Lotus shop. That's a good prize, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that.
But of course, you do need to be a Patreon to get the prize and be fully immersed in the Prediction League, and you can find out all the details of that by visiting patreon.com/nrf1. So, guys, one of your choice predictions for the Austrian Grand Prix. Melissa.
Oh my God. I reckon I'm going to say that Danny Ricciardo is going to be on pole.
Oh, good shout.
Ooh, why not?
Why not? Love the shout. Steve.
Not a Mercedes pole. Yeah, that's my prediction. Really... Yeah.
Can't Who say it, then? Melissa. Who? Go on. Who's it going to be?
Not a Mercedes pole.
I think it'll probably suit more Ferrari. I think it'll probably be Vettel. Unfortunately, in my eyes.
Well done, Melissa. You've done something all of us have failed to do for 5 years. Stuart.
Let's go obscure. A Raikkonen win.
Oh, boom.
Why not?
Love that. Boom. I'm going to say... two actual safety cars. I don't know if we normally get many safety cars. I don't feel like we do, but two actual safety cars during the race. There we go. So that is that. all the rest of our predictions will be on the Patreon podcast. Fantasy League, all I can tell you is that our democratized NRF1 podcast race team is doing really badly, and we will update the team ahead of Austria come our Patreon podcast as well. So it's going to be a busy Patreon podcast. Back-to-back races for 3 weekends on the trot. That doesn't happen. I don't remember that ever happening before. I'm sure it has.
No,
but
no, it hasn't.
Never?
No, it hasn't. This is the first time ever.
You know, we're all going to burn out. Right, and on that note, we're done. Let's hope we don't burn out before we do the other podcast. Remember, if you want to hear more from us about the Paul Ricard action and talking points, our full Spielberg predictions or opinions on the big F1 news, everything else in between, take in our exclusive bonus Patreon podcast, including Danny Rick's Big Pick, Paying the Penalties, and Time for a Spa Day. For that and a whole load of extra content, just check out patreon.com/NRF1. We will return with E224, our own Spielberg spectacular, as we review all the action from Austria, plus another bonus Patreon edition, all shortly after round 9 of the 2018 Formula One Championship. In the meantime, thanks to Future Radio and to the Rush Cutters, and goodbye from the crew. From Stuart.
Au revoir.
From Steve.
Goodbye.
And from Melissa.
Bye.
Ching. This has been the NRF1 podcast. It's back to back, baby. Yeah. Until then, goodbye.